Lord blessed me double today. I got to preach this morning over at the church I pastored before I came here. And it was good to see it full and still see Liberty preach there. So that was a blessing. And I found out something else, Brother Van. I've been really trying hard to stay off the carbs and everything and, you know, loosen my pants up a little bit. And so I went at that hard for about 2 weeks or so. And Pastor Lawson, I couldn't tell the bit difference today. So when they set the table today, I decided, well, I'm going to go ahead and eat the pies and the cakes and anything else I could. And I guess I'm going to wait on the rapture and then I'll get a perfect body. And then I'll still be able to enjoy the sweets that I like now. So I'm thankful for that. All right, now if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 10. Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 10. And the Bible says, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Let us pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this day that, God, we celebrate just exactly how much you loved us and what you did for us. Lord, I've never gotten over that. I hope I never do, Lord. I'm thankful for the good food and for the good fellowship today. Thankful for all my family being with us. And now it's good to be with the church family, my Father. I ask tonight, Lord, that you feed your people from your word. Lord, I knew a long time ago I could not preach and never learned how, Lord. So I trust in thee and the calling you gave me tonight. God, put a protective hedge about the hearts and the minds in this building tonight. And God, please let there be liberty to preach your word. And we'll be very careful, Lord, to bow our heads and give you the praise and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't usually title messages when I preach. Somebody's did that all through the years for me. But if I was going to give this message a title tonight, I'd title it, "What Does the Cross and Easter Mean to You?" That's an answer that needs to be settled in our hearts. Now, this is a time of year when people all across the world come together to celebrate our freedom in Christ, our redemption at the cross of Calvary. It's a high holy day all around the world, and rightfully so, amen? Families that have had very little time during the year to come together and to spend time with each other and fellowship, get together and go to church and have a good meal, they come together to remember what Christ has done for them. No, every time I think about what he did for me, it turns my heart upside down to think that he loved me that much. They come together to remember what he did for them, although sadly, it's a sad thing to say, for many, they forgot what he did for them much of the last year before they got to this time. The cares of this world pull them away from remembering what Christ did. The uncertainty of the times that we live in now, and they're uncertain to a lost and dying world, and should not be to you and I, but still they're uncertain. The fear of the COVID virus has just completely shipwrecked this country. COVID-19 keeps them out of church. Bless your hearts, it don't keep them out of Walmart. I don't understand that. It keeps them out of church, but strangely, it doesn't keep them out of the restaurants. I see plenty of God's people in the restaurants. It does not keep them away from the flea markets and the duck goose or whatever it is that they go to buy clothes at, yard sales. And the list could go on and on and on. For some reason, they feel safer in those places than they do in the house of God. I think that's backwards. We should be safer in this house than we should anywhere else that we might go. It was good to see the choir again standing up here and singing. It changed the way it felt in the house of God. It shows that God's people are coming to our senses and we're going to celebrate God no matter what the Democrats or the politicians say. We're the people of God and we are going to act like the people of God and praise God until Jesus comes. Amen. We come together to celebrate Jesus during these days. Now listen, folks, I'm not trying to be mean by what I just said, but it's just the truth. When I went to study for the lessons for this morning when I preached and for what I was going to preach now, you would not believe the battle, the spiritual warfare that went on at my house. And I'm not complaining. I've come to expect that. And if it's not so, it worries me when it doesn't. But I had a tractor tear up, two lawnmowers tear up. Brother Lawson, I was trying to get a little long to just pray and study last night, and the plumbing started leaking. I went and fixed that plumbing, another place blew, and fixed that plumbing and another place blew. And finally, after about 2:30 in the morning, I thought, hallelujah, we've got to the end of it. And I heard a pop. Now, Kathy and them weren't there. She was sitting with the lady, and Janice had not arrived yet, and I saw water coming through the floor. And I knew exactly where that was. It was where the hot water heater was. Blew the line plumb off the top. And I told the devil, I said, you can wear me out all day long. I said, but I'm going to preach the word of God. I said, you can keep me as busy as you want, but I'm going to preach the word of God. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I need some time to get along with you, but I seem to be getting wore out. I thought he was trying to destroy my mind. And that still small voice said, it's not for you to worry about what you'll say before the people tomorrow. He said, it's up to me. And he said, I'll give you what you need at the time you need it. And so it was a fight. You say, what'd you preach on this morning? I preached on hell. Pastor Lawson, that's the first time I've done that. I told my wife before we got to the church, I said, some of the best messages I ever heard at Easter was on hell. But I'd never done it. But there are some people who need to learn that we are winding this thing down. And that Jesus is coming. And we're either with Jesus or without Jesus. If we're with Jesus, nothing to worry about. But we're without Jesus, then there is a place called hell. And it'll break his heart for us to go there. But still, he'll do it. Lord, can you give me just a little time tonight, just a little bit of your time to tell you what Easter and Calvary means to me? First of all, it means love. You see, Pastor, I didn't grow up in a house where we hugged on each other and there was love. My mom was, but my father, my stepdad, was a hard man. And it didn't grow up with all the things that some people have and learn as they're growing up. And so I did not truly know love or what it was until Jesus came and told me he loved me. And he said he loved me not with just a love that's just temporary or just part-time or it depended upon what I did for him. He said, I love you because I love you because I'm going to love you. And he said, if you'll come to me, I'll be that father. I'll be that place in your heart that you never knew as a young man and growing up. And he kept his word. You see, I cannot believe that Christ can love somebody like me. Somebody that was rebellious, that was headed to hell just as fast as he could go. That when he was younger, people didn't want to be around because they said he'll never see 21. Now, ain't that a great forecast for you? And that wasn't from people that didn't like me. That's from my family. My uncles. My aunts. And as I look back on it, I really am surprised that I made it to that point too. In Romans chapter 9, 5 and verse 8, it says, when we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before we got cleaned up, before we got washed up, before we got lined up with how I thought you had to be born again, Christ still died for me. I can't believe it to think that Jesus Christ, in my worst days, in my most rebellious times, as a young man, died for Tom Berry. I'll never get over that. I can't understand it in my heart, but I am glad that Jesus loved me enough to die for me. I lived a hard life. Went into the service and they kept me calmed down for a while. Came out of it just wide open. Found out that I wasn't near as tough as I thought I was once I met Jesus. And number two, Calvary and Easter is a time that I realize I finally found a true friend. Now, I don't know how many of you got friends that say they're your true friend, but I've had very few that kept that promise. I'm just going to be honest with you. But Jesus has never let me down. He's never failed me one time as a friend. He's not a fair weather friend. No. He's not a friend that expects something from me. He just loves me, and he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Boy, I've had plenty of people tell me we're like brothers until a problem came. And I found out we were distant kin when that came up. But Jesus loved me, and he stayed with me through all that I had. When I was diagnosed with Parkinson's, it's kind of a sad thing to hear from a doctor. And, of course, I was concerned with it. You know what Jesus said? I'm with you. I'm with you. Y'all remember there was a time I came through here walking on cane at times. And I was almost bedridden with the fine doctor I didn't have. And Jesus saw fit to put me with a doctor that knew what he was doing. And he told me, he said, son, I'm not done with you yet. I'm an anomaly to the doctors that understand what I am. They say, we don't understand how you made such a change. And I said, well, I'll tell you how I made the change. I got a friend that props me up when I need to. I got a friend that gives me strength when I don't have it. I got a friend that's with me always, even to the ends of the world. And Jesus will be your friend and will always be my friend until the time that he's finished with me. And when he's finished with me, I'm ready to meet him because that's been in my heart so long. Well, he's a friend that sticks close and brother, and he's never forsaken me. And he told me something one time. I said, you ever get under the juniper tree? I mean, the devil's wearing your mind out. Everything's going wrong. He made an invitation to me yesterday. He won't go under a juniper tree again. I said, no, I spent far too much time there. You know what Jesus told me? He said, you don't have to go there anymore. He said, I'm with you, son. No matter what you go through, no matter what you face, no matter what comes into your life, I'm always with you. Now, I thought I was a pretty tough guy when I was younger, Brother Lawson. But I'll tell you what this tough guy does and did yesterday. I climb up in his lap, let him put those arms of compassion and love around me, and I just let him hug on me a little bit. I spoke to Janice when she came home, and I said, I've been in a spiritual battle. She said, Dad, did you take time to pray? I said, I've talked to Jesus all day long. Devil throws something up. I said, I love you, Jesus. He throws something else. Pop. I love you, Jesus. The line blows up in my face down under the house, knocked the wrench out of my hand, my glasses off. I got up out of the mud and I said, I love you, Jesus. Didn't make any difference what was going on. I could not help but love him when he loved me as much as he did. I mean, he knows what love is. For the first time in my life, I wasn't stumbling around in darkness after I met Jesus. I mean, the devil wore me out. He turned me every which way but loose. He sent me down every avenue that I thought might give me relief and peace in my heart. He kept me in darkness for so many years. But folks, when I met Jesus, I saw the light. I think Hank Williams put a song out, I Saw the Light. Now, I don't know whether he did, but Tom Berry saw the light. I finally saw it. And his name, you say, what was the light? His name is Jesus. That's the only light there is in this world. This world is getting darker and darker and darker. I've had people tell me, well, things are going to get better. I said, yeah, when the light comes and swallows up the darkness and takes us out of this place. That's when it'll get better. I don't know why people would think the church is issuing in the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, it's not getting better where I'm at. It's getting darker. And I believe we're about through with this thing. I really do. He spoke to my heart, and he said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. When I met Jesus Christ at Calvary, for the first time in my life, I felt alive. Well, I was a plasterer for 45 years. I'm done plastering, but I'm not done preaching. I like to preach far more than I like to plaster. And the good thing is when I get to heaven, I don't have to put any mud on the wall. It's going to be the most beautiful thing I ever seen, and he's going to present it to me and say, enter in thy son. Man, I can't wait. I'm homesick for that place. Because of Jesus' finished work on Calvary, on the cross, I found out that Satan was turning me around and Jesus was turning me right. Satan was trying to drag me down, destroy me. Jesus was trying to give me eternal life. Jesus was giving me a calling on my life. Now, that's something I don't understand. Brother Beck, I don't understand it. I don't know why he called a sinner like me to preach the word. Have no way to understand that. But I do know this, I sure enjoy it when I do. Man, I've come into the house of God and somebody's called me to preach, or I was pastoring, or I was preaching a revival in Haiti, and I just didn't feel it until I got in this book. This Bible's falling apart. It's getting where I can't take my glasses off anymore to read it. I'm getting older. Pages are full of torness and been just blurred by the notes I wrote. But I'm going to tell you one thing. When I opened this book, I'm made whole again. No making difference how I felt. God's power is in this word. Or I go through here and I don't know whether you write in your book. I write, I highlight. Brother Lawson, I'm not sure which notes was mine, which was yours, or which was somebody else. I figured they're all good notes, or I wouldn't have wrote them down. And I'll bet my lowest ebb and then there'll be that little place where Jesus or another preacher read the Word of God. And it brought me out of the condition I was in. Because of Jesus and what He did on the cross of Calvary, I finally found direction for my life. You say, where is it? Wherever God wants it to be. By His power and not mine. Until Jesus says, come up hither. I'm good. I really believe with all my heart. I've never felt it so close. It's in my mind. It's in my heart. It's in my bones. I believe He's about to come and get us. I believe that. And I look forward to that day. Bless your Lord, He gave me a new path. He gave me a new life. Hey, He gave me a new birth.
Amen.
That first verse condemned me. That second birth set me free.
Amen.
It washed away the old birth. That old man's still in here. He still looks at the menu every now and then. But the new man that Christ put in me keeps me from dying from that menu.
Amen.
I'm thankful for what Christ did. And I'm thankful to finally, after being a rebellious, hell-bent sinner, to have true direction in my life, brother man. I'm thankful. Because of what Jesus did on the cross at that first Easter, He gave me rest. Y'all remember when you was lost? Did you ever feel fully rested during those times? More. Let's try it. Let's get it. Let's see if it'll bring you rest. And yet there was no rest that truly came our way. That's because there's a place inside our heart where Jesus was supposed to be. But He wasn't there. And you could find no rest for your soul. Oh, I remember how tired I was when I was lost. But He made me a promise in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 20. He says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You ever had Him do that to you? I found out that even after fighting plumbing up till way up in the morning, He'll give you rest. I felt younger this morning than I had in a long time, and I'd slept very little. I'm thankful for it. Next, because of Jesus, He gave me peace and joy. My life was in pieces. I had no peace. My life was being destroyed. I had no joy. I was a person that if you was around, you would not like. Because I hated life, to be honest with you. But I met Jesus. And He put peace in my heart. Even when they give you a bad diagnosis, peace in my heart. Even when you don't know what's going on, peace in your heart. I tell you what, I love Jesus, don't you?
Amen.
Don't you love Jesus? I do. And then because of Jesus, He gave me some promise and a blessed hope. In those times of troubles, when it comes my way, He says, let not your heart be troubled. Now, that's one of my favorite verses of Scripture in the Bible. I've hung on to this many years. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, I've had people ask me, I'm not going to get a mansion. I said, you can get what you want to. I'm going to get a mansion. And I believe I'll get one maybe just a little bigger right next to them so they'll believe it. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Catch His promise right here in this blessed hope. I go to prepare a place for you. And it also means for me. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will. You can count on it. It's going to happen. I will come again and receive you under myself, that where I am, and this is where I always wanted to be since I've been born again, there you may be also. I really don't care if it's just a pup tent in heaven. I'd be glad because Jesus is there and I'm where he is. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more fighting the devil, no more depression, no more sickness, no more funerals to preach, no more death.
Amen.
Don't you look forward to that time?
Amen.
Well, that's going to be such a time, that's going to be a new horizon. And his name is Jesus. You say, Tom, you've got a lot to say about Jesus, yeah? Because I know what Jesus done for me, and I knew me what I was before you knew me. And I'm thankful for that. Now, what does the cross, what does Easter mean to you, Brother Tom Berry? It means Jesus. 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 Bless his precious, righteous, holy, sweet name. His name is Jesus. Jesus, my Savior! Have no way to save myself. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my life. Jesus is my peace. Jesus is my joy. Jesus is my direction. Jesus is my path. Jesus is my blessed hope. Jesus is my best friend. Just think about that. You know what? If my uncles, and I hope they did, make it to heaven, when I get there, I'm going to say, you didn't think I'd make it, did you? Now, so let me show you how come I did. I'll get down on my face before it. See, right there's the reason. Not me. Not what somebody on this earth done for me. His name was Jesus. Man. Sometimes, I guess I've told y'all this before, sometimes when I get going, I told him I loved him at least 500 times yesterday. Every time something blesses, I say, Jesus, I love you. 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 And then when I came out and I couldn't, Pastor Lawson, I took a bath in a sink last night out of a barrel that I had caught rainwater in. Reminded me of being in Haiti in the old days. You know what? I was just about, because I'm a little older, I was almost about to let that one get me down. And I thought, why? The Lord washed his face in creeks, no doubt. Lord washed off wherever he could. And I said, Lord, that's good enough for you. That's good enough for me. I felt clean after I got my mind right because of Jesus. Now, folks, if I was to keep preaching on Jesus, it'd take me quite a while. We'd have to just call in some food for several days. And, you know, we'd have to get some cots in here to give us rest, because I cannot run out of the things that Jesus is and has done for me, a sinner. I can't. And I believe we're almost there, don't you? You know, so I've had people say, well, you preachers have been saying that for 2,000 years. I said, you don't understand what he says when he says, I come quickly. I said, that may have been 2,000 years ago that it was said. But what he's telling you better be looking for my appearing. Because when I come, it's going to be quickly. Man, I can't wait to travel through the first heaven, the second heaven, into the third heaven. And then I love horses. If you know me, you know I raised them, I rode them, I loved them. I had a horse named Fancy that I always bow up his neck and he'd step so high. But I can't wait to find out what kind of white horse I'm going to have when he comes back. Woo! I've had people say, well, aren't you worried about falling off the horse? I said, if he can save me, if he can keep my salvation, if he can hold me, I believe the Holy Spirit will glue me to that saddle no matter how that horse acts. You say, you're crazy, Brother Tom. I'm happy crazy. I've told people, I said, I've got papers certifies I'm crazy. I said, are you a thoroughbred? They look at me like I've lost my mind. I did for Jesus. I love him. Now, the question tonight I'm going to ask you is, what is Jesus to you? How important is he to you? Is Easter a time of maybe getting, you know, a new shirt or a new dress? Them Easter baskets, I ain't had one of those in so long I can't even remember what was in. Or is it about Jesus? And if Easter, Resurrection Sunday, is about Jesus, since you've been born again, aren't you resurrected for eternity?
Yeah.
Every single day.
Yeah.
Ought to be full of Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, I know that's not what you'd call a great theological lesson. If you ever get in your heart, it's about Jesus, because of Jesus, because he loved you and because you love him, because he cannot lie, because he's prepared a place for you, and he will come again very soon to get you, and you're going to have eternal life. Not in hell, where he is in heaven. So I'm going to ask you tonight. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to ask you, can you look back on this past year and decide that Jesus was there and important to you every single day? Or have you failed at that? I feel like I'm resurrected every single day. And you'll have to forgive me. I told him 500 times I loved him, and I woke up telling my pastor, I love you. I love you, Jesus. I love you. Come and get me. But help me reach some lost until you do. Amen. Wouldn't you like to see people come to Jesus and finally be made whole? I'm going to pray, and then the pastor, I'll get out of the way, and he can do how the Lord leads him. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this privilege, this genuine privilege to preach your word. I thank you, Lord, for Jesus. My, what a love you had to send your son to die for us. I thank you, Father, for all your many blessings. I thank you in a world that's gone crazy, a world that's turned away from you and calling good bad and bad good. And my goodness, Lord, we've become so foolish we don't even know whether a man or a woman, some of us in this world. But I know what I am. I'm a child of God, and that's because of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Be with your people. Help them, my Father. Help us to finish what we started with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.